Welcome to the Priority Now podcast, encouraging women to become better disciples of Jesus. Priority Now is hosted by Carmen Halsey of the Illinois Baptist State Association.
Hi, friends. This is Carmen, and I hope that you're with us on the journey for Priority Now. If you've not already connected with us, please do. You can connect through our website at ibsa.org/women or find us on Facebook at Illinois Baptist Women. And be sure to share that with your friends also. Today, I get to bring a friend of ours to have conversation with us, and that's Miss Courtney Veazey. Courtney, we are so glad that you're joining us on this week's podcast for Priority Now. We're excited to have you with us. We know that you've been in our state several times doing training on different things. And that's why I wanted you to come back, because I feel like you're a friend of the women. You're somebody that the women trust. You're a solid Bible teacher. And you've done some training for us in the past that's really challenged us to live our lives holy. And on guard, but in the moment, intimate with Jesus. And with everything that's going on in our culture right now, I just think that you could have a fresh word for us. So Courtney, share something with us that's going to enlighten us today, friend.
Hi, ladies of Illinois. It's so great to be with you today. I've actually been thinking of you quite a bit today because I've been working on my taxes a little bit today. So even in the midst of the chaos, we still have some of the normal to take care of. And a friend of mine who's helping me with all of my receipts as an itinerant person, and I turned around, she said, "Wow, you've been to Illinois quite a bit." I said, "Yes, because I love them there and they love me." And so I was recording all the different things that I've done for you guys and had the blessing of being there to serve with you. And so currently, as many of you know, I am from Florida and been living there as I've been working on some finishing up some writing projects. And so at the moment, I'm actually staying with one of my best friends. And so I am in the midst of a lot of things changing, like for all of us. But for me, as an itinerant speaker and conference speaker, 5 of my next 6 conferences have now been canceled through May. And so I am having some unexpected time at home where I'm not traveling as much, and not obviously we're all sheltering in place. So for me, I'm really trying to utilize this time well, as I know all of you are too. And in particular, I'm really trying to finish up my PhD, which I know many of you have been praying for me about a long time. And so, you know, outside of just leading women that are in my life and trying to continue on with some discipleship with people, I personally am just trying to really use this time to get some good writing done. So that's me. I'm hunkering down in Georgia, and I'm just keeping my ear to the ground for folks, for my friends and family in Florida. If I need to jet home, I can. And so it's a good place to be.
Courtney, you get that PhD done, friend. We're all rooting you on, and we want to have that behind you. We're just so grateful for you. And I know a lot of the work that you're doing in the studying that you've done in your dissertation, you've already used some of that to equip us. And so we're grateful for that. Hey, I want to switch gears for a minute. You always bring us such a good, solid word, and you put us into the scripture. You showed us a movie clip last year from The Crown, last year at Priority, and that movie clip has sort of propelled us into where we wanted to go with this year's Priority Conference. The movie clip made us realize that we're holy and we spend our life in the sanctification journey, transforming into the likeness of Christ. But sometimes we live our lives like someday I'm going to be holy, when the reality is we are holy. We have to be able to step out and believe and adjust our minds to believe that. But then we have to start learning, what does it look like to live that holy out in our everyday life? Can you speak to that a little bit for our Illinois women?
Yes, for sure. I mean, and that clip, if I'm remembering correctly as well, where, you know, Elizabeth has now taken her place as the queen, and her grandmother, Queen Mary, prior to that, I believe it's Queen Mary, she's telling her, "You're no longer the former Elizabeth. You are now royalty." You know, she's always been royal, but you are now the queen, and the crown must win. You know, and that's the statement I think that you're probably referring to as well. That clip and that statement just resonates with me so much. The crown must win. And we know that we are joint heirs with Christ from scripture, that we are also considered royal and holy as a part of the family, the lineage of Christ, you know, in him and his salvation. And that's not to say that we are not obviously going to have times where we do fall into temptation. I mean, I think that, you know, those parts about the different figures we find in scripture who also had weaknesses, even some of the greatest, like King David that we find, and the disciples even, and how they fell into different temptations. I mean, part of that gives to the validity of the Bible that we left in the messy parts kind of scripture, that nobody is perfect other than our Savior Christ. I think holiness, it is a choice that we make all the time. And even right now, especially in these really interesting times when we're going to have more, perhaps even idle time with our minds, with our bodies. I know as a single woman, that's certainly true for me in this time of unique isolation. But for me, when I think of the different temptations that come, or just in my daily integrity, I think of scriptures very often like Galatians 5:16, where it talks about, you know, so I say, walk in the spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And over, Paul would say that, you shall not gratify the desires of the flesh. And I have to say that to myself when a temptation comes my way, where there is an opportunity to have less of an integrity than what God has called me to as his living temple. And other scriptures, like in Romans, I believe is it Romans 8? I do not consider the present suffering to compare to the glory that is to come. And I know even in some of my bodily temptations, I have to recite that scripture to myself and say, in this moment, the crown must win. You know, my choice to follow Christ must win over this desire of my flesh right now. Because, you know, with that, I think my bodily temptation, whether it's sexual, whether it's money, whether it's pride, fame, being right, anything like that, that's not worth the reality that's to come for me. That's not even going to compare to the riches that are in heaven for me. And so when I remember that, and when we remember that, ladies, often the temptation I find, or even if it's not temptation, of just whatever it is I'm facing or trying to make a right decision, the decision not only becomes clear that I am to make, but also the temptation is dispelled, you know, and I feel like I'm able to walk more victoriously when I call those kind of scriptures out and remember that the name of the Lord is a strong tower and I can run to him and find safety. So sometimes even holiness and the crown winning means I'm calling on Jesus no matter what, even if that makes me look like a fool in the moment in the eyes of a human person. You know, I've said that before, that many times I have felt that way. But all of those moments have led up to a lifetime of faithfulness, you know, and I might feel foolish in the eyes of man, but I'm going to be faithful to my God no matter what. And so I hope that speaks to what you're thinking there with that clip and with holiness. But those are definitely some scriptures. Let me look up the one. I'm missing the reference of in Romans, but I'm going to find it right now. Romans 8. That's what I thought. Romans 8:18. For our present sufferings do not compare to the glory that is to come. And I know that Paul there is speaking of persecution in a way, because, of course, he's living in a Nero Roman citizen time. But for us, though, anything that we face can be seen as a suffering, you know, but this present thing in my body or my life, it doesn't compare to the glory that's to come to me in Christ. So those are some things I would keep in mind for that.
That's good, Courtney. I want to switch gears again, because I really want to position some of the training that you've done for us, because it's been valuable in many women's lives. They've referenced that to me. It's also been valuable in my own life. You did a training for us about being prepared for persecution. What does it look like to prepare for persecution? How do we build the mindset in our toolkit? But I also want you to address, what if somebody hasn't done that? And now here we are in the middle of what some may view as a crisis. Some may be viewing it as suffering. Some may see it as actual spiritual warfare. How would you speak into a woman's life to either access that toolkit for such a time as this? Or what if the person doesn't have their toolkit built? What should they do?
Well, one of the things I would point out is, you know, in that teaching, of course, I talk about at the beginning of that, I have three major sections, and I talk about, first of all, what is persecution? And we're talking obviously about real persecution according to scripture, according to the definition of scripture, I mean, definition of persecution, even just in a general like dictionary type sense. And it's really notified as a systematic mistreatment of a particular group or a person. And in scripture, dioxazon is the word in the Greek that we find in the New Testament, and that really means to run down, but it's an intentional word. And so we kind of define that, and we make sure that we are distinguishing between what is real persecution and what's mistreatment. And but not that we don't take mistreatment lightly, but that you can prepare for persecution even in your mistreatment. So even now would be a good time to start in realizing that this particular situation we're going through, whereas it may not be actual physical. I mean, it is physical, but I mean, it's not a physical person doing something to us. It may be more of a spiritual warfare kind of thing in the spiritual realm. However, this would be a time where you would use this situation to prepare for further probably like actual physical persecution. But then the second part of my session, we talk about what's the likelihood that it would happen to me. And so on one hand, if someone has never studied so much about persecution according to scripture, I would say do a general like Google search of that term and look up those passages and see how much not only Jesus says this is going to be a part of your walk as a believer, but also the promises that are attached there of how he's going to give us what to do in those moments, how he's going to be with us, that he's not going to leave us, that certain things happen as an attack against him. And I do think that's a way to distinguish between what we're facing now and what is persecution, because persecution, according to scripture, is something that does happen to believers and for their faith in Christ. And so I don't think we can say that the coronavirus necessarily is the same persecution that we would find worldwide with our brothers and sisters that face, that we've seen some in our country and that is in scripture, because it's happening generally to everyone, you know? So I would say going into the next part of my session where I talk about, well, how do we develop a plan to stand? And the first thing I want to say about that is to the person who maybe has never really thought about that or never really prepared for such an intense time like what we're facing now, because it certainly is unique and it certainly is something many of us have never, I mean, not, and none of us in the world have ever walked through this kind of exact situation. But I would say to, you know, don't panic in a sense of, oh, I haven't prepared for something like this, but realize maybe you actually have. Just in your daily disciplines of being in the Word, of spending time with prayer with God, those are some things that I bring out naturally in that session where I talk about preparing for a plan to stand. Maybe you've prepared better than you knew. So just continuing on, making sure those everyday regular disciplines are a part of your life. But I would say, and I don't know, Carmen, if you were going to go on to ask me about what else I say in there, but I'll just go ahead and say some of it. But, you know, some of the other practical things that I talk about, I do practical steps for preparing for persecution and then biblical steps. And some of the practical steps are having a persecution song. And so for a long time, I have known that my persecution song is No Turning Back. That is my song. So if I am being, you know, kidnapped or raped, you know, unfortunately to say that, or the gun is to my head or the knife or whatever it is, I am able to begin to sing that song because I've tucked it away in my heart as the one that I'm going to go to. So that's something very simple everyone can do at this time. Just have one song that's yours and lock it away in your heart. Sing it over and over and over again. Till you're believing those words, you know, and living that out with your family, with your friends, with your neighbors, those around you. And then I talk about in there praising in pain. And so this is a great time to practice that, you know, that in any kind of pain that we experience, whether it's great pain, like something we're all going through or cancer, or you simply have just stubbed your toe or hit your head on the door frame or whatever it is, discipline yourself to condition yourself to immediately go to the throne. So then when the pain is actually true and someone is actually, you know, wanting to hurt you for the sake of Christ and take your life. And in John chapter 15, we know it says that they do this because they do not know the one who sent me, Jesus says, then we can know in that moment, we begin to praise and not only to survive. The point is to be a witness to the persecutor, to bring people to him, even through what you're facing. And that's exactly what we all need to remember at this time. And I also talk about, you know, reading up on those who have faced persecution in the past. I know that a lot of things that I've been doing in recent days have come out of what I've studied from the World War II time period. And so I've thought about a lot of that and different people that experienced persecution at that time. So maybe even just reading and picking up on other people who have faced hard, very difficult, unique situations and what you can learn from them. Corrie Ten Boom, Esther On Kim, Pastor, is it Brother Yoon, I think, and then Dietrich Bonhoeffer, people like these, Jim Elliot, of course. And then, of course, with the scripture and prayer, I do talk about You know, focusing in on having scripture locked in your heart that shares the gospel. So in the fact that you don't have scripture with you, you can then, you know, still preach the gospel, even if you don't have scripture, you know, physical scripture with you. And of course, looking at the different prayers of the New Testament, knowing how to pray, according to those, the model that we have in the New Testament, never is anyone asked to be released from the situation unless they're just wanting to go on to do further work. But it's always allow me to be bold in my chains, allow me to speak clearly as I ought to speak. And so mimicking those prayers and really changing our prayers to be bold. They're not prayers of safety. They are prayers of courage and they are prayers of evangelism. And so I think keeping all of that in mind, but I would say that if you've not been someone that's really thought about this before, don't panic in a sense that you're totally unprepared. I bet you have prepared more than you ever realized in just your regular daily disciplines. And I would say that now is the time to continue those on and even maybe crank them up even more and making sure that we're really, really connected to the vine during this time, especially and always.
Super. One of the things that I found unique with the COVID-19 is it's this invisible thing that is very real because we're seeing outcomes of it. There easily could be a spiritual correlation there. You know, I've not seen you, God, but I believe in you. I can trust in you because I have seen the things that are good. I've been walking through Acts, and one of the things, Ms. Courtney, as I've been going through that book, that has struck me is when the Holy Spirit fell on all the believers that were gathered, it left nobody out. Everybody that was in the room, it fell on them. I was thinking the other day in my own quiet time, in my own journaling, that nobody had to listen to anyone else's story. It was like, man, I was there. But not only was I there, but I experienced it. And with this COVID-19, the whole world is impacted by this unbelievable thing. And I think that sometimes even believers are not taking it seriously and respecting some of the basic guidelines that people in official positions are giving us. Simply because we've done a lot on shooter training this year, you know, that critical thinking, what if the shooter comes into the church? And you know, when you listen to those stories repeated back, it's oftentimes people don't react because they can't believe it's real. So their body, their reflexes take a minute to kick in. You know, it's like, oh no, that's a gunshot. No, it was a firework. You know, I think that there's something like that going on today in our response to the COVID-19. So, Courtney, what would you speak to leaders about how we should be embracing the mandates that are coming out from our government, you know, from our president? And how should the church be represented, seeing that we are in the world, but not of the world related to COVID-19?
I mean, many times in scripture, we are taught to obey and pray for and respect the authorities which are above us. And I mean, I would hope and think even just outside of those scriptures that were given, especially in a time like this, when the government is, you know, trying to do their best to that we trust to help protect us in the mandates that they're giving, not that they are oppressing us in any way. I think it's hard for me to fathom this sometimes, but I know that some of my friends, even in different parts of the country, are just dealing with people who absolutely do not want their freedoms stripped at this time to do certain things. And we are a people that freedom is in our DNA as Americans, but it is a time, obviously, to consider others better than ourselves and to respect the wisdom that is coming from the authorities. So even outside of, I think, a scriptural sense, of those commands that were given, it, just out of a common sense and a common courtesy, and wanting to make a difference, you know, rise up to make a difference for what you can in this situation. Now is the time to do that, and it's hard. You know, it seems hard that, you know, again, we've heard many times like our elders and our grandparents went off to war to fight, but we're being called to stay at home and stay on the couch. Like, we can do it, but We want to do more, but if that's our part to play, then we really need to do the best we can with that. But as believers, we know, I mean, of course, there's not going to be, we don't need to be unrealistic about fears or death, because we know, even though death is hard and it's a reality, but I've thought many times about a particular passage through this whole thing that's been said by many people out of 2 Timothy, where we know in chapter 1, verse 7, where it talks about there, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and discipline. And that word fear, I think I've talked about this even in a different Illinois event, but it's a really rare word. It's called, it's delios there, where we get our English word delirious. And it's only ever used also with Jesus when he's asleep in the boat and they wake him up and he says, "Why, you have little faith, why are you afraid?" And it's there as well, it's delios. Right now, I mean, there's certainly the other kind of fears in the world. There's phobia, that's a real fear. There is, tremeo, trembling. We see that in the New Testament. There's different fear words, but this particular word, I think what's interesting about it is God has not given us a spirit of disorienting fear. And so I think what will separate the church from the other real fears, I don't want to diminish real fears in the world of what this means for our families, for our jobs, for our future, for everything, for our world. But I do think we need to distinguish between what's a real fear and what is disorienting, what is an anxiety right now that does it's not real. God has not given us a spirit of disorientation. And so I hope in my prayer for the church at large, capital C, and all of us as ambassadors, as believers, is that we walk in respect of the fear that is there, but we're able to dismiss any kind of disorienting fear that's out there and say, and help people recognize, okay, that fear is anxiety that has run out of control. And we need to give that over to the Lord because he's not given you a spirit of deliriousness. You know, in that scene with Jesus in the boat, he's like, "I'm here with you. Why are you delios? Why are you delirious?" You know? And so if that makes sense, I think distinguishing what kind of fear and making sure that we are different. We're still confident, you know, in the hope of God, in the future that he has for us, but also in that same passage, where it says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, that Paul would say there that the grace of God has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has abolished death and brought life to life and immortality to light through the gospel. And that word there, abolished death, inside of that word is the word erg for work. And the word is erg. And in front of it is santos there. And so the word to make something negative in Greek, you put A in front of it. So the A in front of work means it doesn't work anymore. So Jesus has made work, death, not work in a sense. You know, he has put that joker out of a job. And so in a way, I can not be fearful in this situation, even should I get the virus, even should I lose my job, which right now, you know, as a conference speaker, 5 of my next 6 events have been canceled. I'm in a position where I'm okay right now. I mean, financially, but that's a hard reality for me. But I go, you know what? Christ Jesus has undone death. Doesn't mean that this reality is not real. It's not serious, but my hope is in a better place. My confidence is in a better place. And I'm ready to project that to the world. And the fear is not the same for me. It's not a fear of dying. It's not afraid that God's not going to provide for me. So I don't know if that really answers the question, but those are some things that I've been thinking of as we've walked through this time. And, I just do pray that, that this is a great time that people are coming as they're going to be asking big questions that the church is prepared in every way to be there to answer and just tangibly meet the needs of the moment.
Courtney, I realize that you have put lots of hours into education, and I'll just represent Illinois. We are so grateful for your education. You just have a way of unpacking scripture and just speaking it to the Carmens out there, just ordinary people, in a way that it just comes to life and it propels us forward just to be part of the world. So I just want to thank you for that. I was going to ask you the question, but you truly already answered it. What are you telling yourself? So Courtney, I'm going to ask you this question. If the church leaned in and was intentional to not only adjust, but use this COVID-19 as an opportunity to invest into their community, what would the church look like 6 months out from COVID-19?
Well, and I think just a second ago, too, you had asked, and I do want to address if I can very quickly, just what am I telling myself? also like outside of the Second Timothy. One other quick thing I want to say about that, that I really hope, and this will tie in some to the thing you're saying, you know, about where the church is, but in Ecclesiastes, we're taught over and over that life is vanity, life is vain. But there's a couple different words for vain in Hebrew, and it's not a word. The word for empty is shwa, and that's a different Hebrew word. But the word there in Ecclesiastes doesn't mean empty. It means that it's a vapor. Life is a vapor. And so it's actual, it's real. It just doesn't last. And so I think as individual believers, as well as the church, and I think the church is, as far as I can tell, is doing a wonderful job of this right now worldwide, but realizing we have to grasp this vapor while we have it and make the most of it. And I really pray that this is a situation and a circumstance where we really learn and we don't set 6 months past COVID, not just this moment, but once we get out of it, we don't have the typical human response where you forget how bad it was or you forget the things you learned. I pray that things stick from this, that stay with us forever, and we really make the most of that vapor. And really, I think Solomon answers that question with Proverbs, you know, and so we could really go to Proverbs and learn a lot there. But I would say coming out 6 months from now, if we get this right, as far as the church, large capital C, and even us, again, as individual believers, I think that we are far more connected to one another, that we realize the importance of the fellowship, and that we have become much better at reaching out to all different branches of our church community, the ones that are already in the church. And I hope this has also forced a hand of so many who are maybe reluctant to go to a digital format or reach out in the ways that the world today is connecting. And I hope that it will help people to continue on in certain ways that will help us reach the world in new and exciting ways that maybe they would have never considered before. So encouraging people to not be afraid to try out technology and fumble through it and mess it up, whatever, but to get to where the world is, you know, and how we're going to reach them. And then, of course, I hope that even though we want to be outreaching as the church at this time, our eyes are so much more open and we're so much more reaching out to our neighbors and looking out for even the least of these among our communities and looking for having eyes to see and a heart to respond. And gosh, I just pray that this experience, it propels us into the future in that way. But really, I think the biggest thing for me is the sense of connection and family, and the world is going to need that too. So if we're doing that well within the church already, I think that, as Jesus said, that they're going to know you by your love, you know, and your unity, and that's going to be an attractive force in the world. And even me personally, this whole situation is forcing me to think more globally in terms of the church and pray more globally. And I pray that that's also a result, is just connection and collaboration, I think, are going to be two key things that I really hope come out of this for us a few months from now. So those are a few things that I would say.
Courtney, thank you so much for sharing your time with us today. It's my hope that when you're sitting down doing your 2020 taxes, that Illinois will be back in it, because that would mean that you've been back with us doing training this year. Ladies, thank you again for joining us for today's podcast with Priority Now with our guest, Courtney Veazey. And remember, if you've not yet connected, go to our Facebook page or our website at ibsa.org/women or Illinois Baptist Women on Facebook. Invite your friends. We're on a journey, and it's not a journey if you're not with us.
Thank you for listening to the Priority Now podcast. Please continue to join us on the journey to know Christ and make Him known.